This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I have another two-hour show for all of you. The first hour focused a lot more on the broad markets. We're going to bounce around, talk about some of the other major moves, including, or some other, let's call them significant moves in the bond market, also commodities, probably talk a little bit about currencies, too. I am kicking off this show with Rick Bensignor. He is the president of Bensignor Our Investment Strategies, writes his institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors, and also writes the In the Know Trader for the retail audience, and just started that new piece called 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs. Rick, before we get into actual market moves, I want to have a general discussion with you regarding the disconnect that we continue to see between, let's say, Main Street and U.S. equity markets. You and I were chatting before we recorded this about some of the businesses that were shutting down in our areas. You more in New York, me in Vancouver. We are seeing a lot of small businesses struggle. But you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't see that if you were just looking at the U.S. equity market. Look, this isn't new where markets don't exactly correlate to the underlying economy. But what's important to note about the disconnect currently here, Rick?
So, Corey, thanks for having me. I like the question that you're starting off with because there is this disconnect, very much so when you look at the, let's use the stock market and the fact that a week ago Friday, we were on all-time highs, and we're off, I don't know, 2/3% or so this week, nothing big. But, you know, to Main Street, when they turn on the TV or read a newspaper and they see where the market is, and they're probably like, going, what the heck's going on out here? You know, it's not reflective at all of my life, my family's life, my friend's life. You know, how can the market be saying things are so good when we're all struggling so much and so many small businesses are not going to survive this? I know in New York they're already talking about 50% of the restaurants in New York City will close permanently. I mean, that's a huge hit on an economy. Closing the New York City schools this week, as the mayor did, hurts those that have managed to survive because they need, you know, breakfast crowd, lunch crowd. And I'm not talking high-end restaurants necessarily, but just all the places that are categorized as restaurants in the five boroughs that make up New York. So you've got these large capitalized companies that go public and are publicly traded. And they're being very well bid up for. At the same time, things are very questionable about the economy. And it really is the difference in many ways of the haves and the have-nots. And the fact that the little guy is not represented in the stock market. These are big companies. And they are generally much more able to deal with problems like a global pandemic than, you know, the little guy who owns the hardware store around the corner, or somebody who owns a laundromat or, you know, people who, let's say small business America, you know, Main Street America, the little mom and pop shops that are so much the backbone of the country, are being dramatically affected by people staying home. People are staying home because by and large, they care about their health and they're trying to, you know, stay with guidelines that are being issued. Sometimes they're forced to by state or city mandates. Other times, you know, it's just people like, you know, my wife and I, we'll go out, we'll walk around the block, and we'll go to the grocery when we need to get food, but we're not doing anything else. We're not hanging out with friends unless we're sitting outdoors, and now it's starting to get too cold in New York to do that. You know, we live a pretty quiet life right now because we're not going to the movies. We're not socializing and going out to dinner with friends unless we can do so in a way that is relatively safe. And when you look at what's going on in the stock market, you don't see that because these are big companies and investors are looking past the pandemic at this point. They're looking easily 6 months to a year to 18 months down the road. And with, you know, vaccine breakthroughs, they're saying we know there's still trouble ahead, but we will get past it. And therefore our stocks that sold off are, you know, so many of them are worth our value oriented names. We're seeing in the last week or two also the transition back into value over growth, something that has not worked at all for years. And you're at least potentially at a turning point in that longer-term trend that suggests that you'll finally see more investors going towards cheaper names. In fact, this past week, when I did my weekly podcast for In the Know Trader, which I do on Tuesdays, and it comes out on it's available on stockcharts.com at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and it also gets released at the same time onto YouTube. So if you do a search on YouTube for In the Know Trader or my name, Rick Bensignor, you will see you know, every podcast I've done for the last couple of years. And as I say, they come out weekly. And in this week's episode, I actually spent the bulk of it talking about value names and looking at the list of maybe the top dozen or so names that were in the S&P 500 value index. I looked at the ticker IVE, which is an ETF, which is, you know, the S&P value, large cap value. And, you know, I went through a bunch of names kind of saying, here's where I like them, here's where I don't, because there is a move now into some value names. So you might as well kind of take a look at those charts for the first time in a long time and start bidding for some of the names that have been, you know, thrown out months ago and just made quite cheap in, you know, fundamental terms, and some of them just cheap in price terms too. So, you know, I bought a few stocks for myself too. I recommended, you know, several of them, and, I think this is the difference here between what you see as publicly traded companies and the belief by investors that a year from now will by and large be done with this virus, and therefore they're looking ahead, versus Main Street America, which says, you know, I can't look a year down the road. I don't even know if I can survive another 2 months in business. So there's a very different mind frame and sense of, you know, investing when it comes to even what individuals are doing versus what pension funds and corporations and hedge funds and mutual funds are doing, because they have different time frames and they're different markets. You know, you can't invest in Joe's hardware store down around the corner. You can go and buy things there, but you can't invest in it. And those who are in the investment industry are looking out ahead. We know the stock market is a forward-looking mechanism, and that's what they're doing. And so their investors in the stock market are trying to look beyond what's still ahead of us. And it's, you know, kind of hard when you're living through the thick of this illness that, and this virus that's going all over the place. It's very hard to, when you're thinking, how am I going to feed my family? And put a roof over their head and send the kid to college and marry off my daughter. How do you do that when, you know, I don't know if I can survive another 2 months? So it's a good question. There is definitely a difference between what investable securities are saying and what, you know, non-investable people who own non-investable stores are feeling.
All right, Rick, a lot to take in there. We are out of time for this first segment, but I'm having you back on next segment. We're going to look a little bit more into the actual market moves and also potentially discuss a little bit of the commodities moves that, especially for base metals, were very interesting at the end of the week. So everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with Rick Bensignor.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back. Because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now, Rick, we are limited in terms of time on the radio, so I am going to release a full version of this interview on my website, kereport.com, so everyone can listen to some of your market comments. But I do want to highlight some of the comments that you have for commodities. And starting off, let's talk broadly, because right now, base metals, they went through a fairly important, I think, significant breakout, especially copper, just on Friday. It's been creeping up for months now, but it reached levels that it hasn't seen since 2014. What is copper and the broad rise in base metals telling you about the underlying markets and money flows?
Well, so here's the same thing. Those markets, you know, some people call copper Dr. Copper. I think that name came out in the 1980s, that it is one of the truest signs of the health of the economy. If you look at a chart of copper, it bottomed in March. It made its highest highs, as you say, in several years this week. And so it's very much kind of followed what stocks have done. So if I look at a chart, I see 2018 front month copper got to 320 or so. So we're right there. 330. And today we got to just about 330 also in December futures. It is suggesting that the economy will do well over time. China is the largest buyer of copper in the world. For quite some time, they've had massive inventory so that they haven't needed to buy. But when I look at the chart, the copper got down to about 210 or so in March, and now it's 330. It's added 50% of its value since March, and which is more than, let's see, stocks got to what, 20, where the S&P get 2,500 or so, 2,400. So they're not so different in their return and even what the charts look like. So the charts would suggest that the economy down the road will do well. But the other side of this that doesn't get talked about by the media, they'll just headline, copper's making highs, is how much commodity markets are fueled directionally by funds that trade them. And most of the funds that trade directionally in commodity markets are pure momentum plays. They generally don't buy sell-offs. They buy rallies, and they sell declines. So they go with the direction of the general trend. So a lot of the buying that's being done in copper now is not because copper is the tell-all, end-all, or where that means the economy is going to fly. It's simply funds that come in and allocate to the copper market, X percent of the money they have available, and they may sell out of something else to put money in there, or they might have idle cash. But when you see a commodity that looks, straight up, as copper has done since the March low, you're going to see more and more funds be a part of this. So part of it is, in general, the copper market is saying things are improving down the road. But the other piece is how much the funds push these markets.
How about the funds pushing some of the other metal sectors, like precious metals or anything else that you're seeing in the metal sector?
Yeah, so gold peaked several months ago over the summer. And at the time, we identified and said that we think the peak is in for the rest of the year. At first, I said it through Election Day. And then about 2 weeks before Election Day, I said, I think gold is likely done on the upside for the balance of the year. Long-term targets in gold are still well higher. Shorter term, it's had some trouble. But most importantly, it still stays above 1835. We keep bottoming somewhere around 1850, and we get some bounce. So right now we're at December futures are at 1871. So we're only a little bit above, the support level. If we start breaking under 1835, next level is probably 1760, 1770, something like that in there. And then the big support level, which if we got down to is going to hurt a lot of people who are long gold, is all the way down at like 16.25. And that's where, like on the charts, I come in again with what we call in the business, two hands open. Like I'd buy a lot of gold at that point down there. In between, I'm long some gold myself. I sold out of half. I still have half. I'm trying to figure out if I want to live through a potential $200 decline or not. Because if I sold out, then I got to figure out, all right, let's say I sell out and it goes higher. How do I get back in? It's tough buying stuff near all-time highs. At least me as a counter-trend trader, that's a hard thing to do. So for now, I'm sitting with it, and a lot of it's going to have to do, Corey, with the dollar. The dollar is still holding above its long-term support line. So for those of you who are listening and have access to the U.S. dollar index, DXY, on most charting systems, if you draw a trend line back from the secular low in 2011, we are somewhere in the upper 91s is that trend line, and we have bounced off of that so far, and for a couple months, we continue to hold support there. If the dollar gives way and breaks down further, then in 2021, I could see it easily going to 87.5, and that's been my downside target in the dollar. So I recognize that, you know, it's going to hold here in the low 90s for a while. But if it breaks, then gold is good, silver is good. You'll even see perhaps platinum finally come into the foray of being, you know, breakout to the upside. That has stalled multiple times in at around $1,000 and couldn't break out. But now we're still, you know, I see today, I'm kind of impressed when I look at the platinum chart. Platinum's back to 950-ish, and I wouldn't have thought that just based upon how much it had gotten trashed recently. So if the dollar falls, precious metals will do well. If the dollar ends up holding here in the low 90s and you get a move up to 95 or 96, they're going to hit the metals hard, and that's where you're going to see pain. And I almost think that might happen just simply to wash some people out, you know, wash weak-handed longs out of the picture. Now, I don't generally talk about Bitcoin. It's not a product. I don't care anything about the cryptos, but it's hard not to recognize that today, you know, Bitcoin is over 18,000 and challenging its all-time highs. And if Bitcoin is doing that, then maybe gold won't fall a heck of a lot, because any of these, you know, a cryptocurrency, or let's call it an alternative asset to actually holding dollars, if Bitcoin is doing this, maybe the dollar just is not going to get a major rally. It's kind of what Bitcoin players are implying by bidding it up to the levels it's had. So it's had a big breakout in the last 2 months that once you got above, I guess, about 10,500 or so, you know, to be at 18,000 this quickly is rather significant. Now, I'm not suggesting your listeners play this market. I don't play cryptos. I don't know if I ever will. But for the time being, I'm not interested in them. But it is, you know, I'm pointing out the fact that $18,000 Bitcoin is something I can't, and it's 18.6, so it's not something I can ignore.
Okay. Hey, Rick, great having you on the show. We covered a lot there, and I think kind of that balance, too, in that first segment about what the disconnect between markets and the underlying economy. That's a key thing to understand, and to understand that stuff like that can continue. Rick, great having you on the show, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Corey. Stay well.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention business owners, body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
We will ship millions of doses of vaccine within 24 hours of FDA approval. So my message is hope and help are on the way.
Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, pharmaceutical company Pfizer, and its German partner are asking the FDA to approve its vaccine for emergency authorization Friday. Speaking at the White House on Friday, President Trump says he won the presidential election.
Big Pharma ran millions of dollars of negative advertisements against me during the campaign, which I won, by the way, but, you know, we'll find that out. Almost 74 million votes.
The president continues.
We had Big Pharma against us. We had the media against us. We had Big Tech against us. We had a lot of dishonesty against us.
And you're listening to USA Radio News. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow says the nation's economy is booming despite the pandemic, telling Fox News that GDP could exceed 5% this quarter.
Housing is booming. Consumer spending is booming. Automobiles are booming. I mean, just booming. It's a strong V-shaped recovery.
An actor is continuing to open up as his health declines.
Michael J. Fox has a new book, No Time Like the Future, An Optimist Considers Mortality. In the book, he describes a recent fall in a paraphrased audio clip.
Every day since the spinal cord surgery in April, everyone, doctors, family members, and friends have repeated this message to me over and over. You have one job, don't fall. Yet here I am. But for some reason, this just feels personal. Make lemons into lemonade, but I'm out of the lemonade business.
Fox was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease at 29 years of age. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing our focus broadly on the markets and diving into a couple individual sectors. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. In this segment, I am featuring Dana Lyons. He is a fund manager based out of Chicago. And Dana, you and I chat pretty much every 2 weeks, and I think it's important right now to go back 2 weeks and recap some of the stuff you were outlining, some of the factors and the models that you were watching post-election. Now, the last time we chatted, I think it was just a day or two after the election, and you were sharing some of the positions that you guys were taking. You had outlined that breath looked good, you had started to really load up on the markets, and quite frankly, that strategy has worked very nicely. Give us a little bit of a recap from 2 weeks ago and what we've seen so far in these markets and some of the positions you've taken.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Corey. Always good to be on your show. Yeah, so I'll backtrack even a little bit further. Maybe in August, we started seeing some breath warnings, some warnings in our risk model. We call it an intermediate-term risk model. It's comprised of a number of indicators. A lot of it has to do with the breath in the market, so how many stocks are moving up versus moving down. And in a broad sense, a lot of proprietary computations, but in a broad sense, a lot of breath indications. In August, it started thinning out despite the continued rally in the large cap averages, and so we pulled in our horns a little bit. And in September, we saw a pullback, and we frankly we expected our model, which turned positive in April, we expected to get a sell signal, but funny thing happened in early October. It actually, we saw breath market internals and an array of market sectors and segments actually rejuvenated and kind of started to take off to the upside again. So we saw an expansion in breadth. We saw some breakouts in some of the smaller and mid-cap areas. Some of the lagging areas started to catch up. So far from giving a sell signal, it actually, our model firmed up quite a bit. So that was a key moment, I think, in terms of this rally, was that first half of October. And then the second half, I think, was all about, A, sentiment got a little ramped up into mid-October, a little too much bullishness, but the rest of October was all about kind of a relaxation of that sentiment, a little bit of pulling back in the rampant bullishness. And then also most of it was about a spike in fear, a bid in volatility expectations, all surrounding the election. So you saw the bid in volatility. I think a lot of people extrapolated it to overall general market fears, but I think we looked at a few research pieces that we did back in the time, and it suggested that, no, it's all about the election. And once you get past there, there's no indication of any, you know, volatility bid necessarily. So building up, we had that pullback in right into just before the election. We had kind of a perfect storm of a buy signal for us. We had increasing bearish sentiment. We had a spike in fear. We had on the charts, we had a technical pullbacks back towards key support levels in a wide array of sectors and indices. And then at the same time, you had this underlying improvement in the market internals and the breadth of the, and then the foundation of the stock market. So I think, well, a lot of people I heard and the pundits on TV was, watch out for a spike in volatility, some market chaos if we have this disputed or unresolved election. And just looking at the market indicators, it was about as clear and as rampant a bullish signal as we've gotten in a while. So yeah, we loaded up right before Wednesday to Friday, right before the election, and you know, obviously 2 weeks later, the rest is history. We've had about the best post-election rally ever. So not to toot our own horns. I think the point is that I would make is, if you're when you're making investment decisions, it's best to rely on the quantitative objective data coming from the market itself, rather than, you know, trying to forecast and predict based on exogenous events like the election and what's going to happen in the aftermath and other, like you mentioned off the air, you know, various fundamental pieces of data that typically don't change until well after the stock has turned. So I think, yeah, the point being, you know, the data was pretty clear to us. That was a great buying opportunity right before the election. And again, the last 2 weeks would bear that out. And at this point, obviously you're late to the game, but there's no evidence yet to suggest that, you know, the move is necessarily over.
Hey, good job on that trade, though, Dana, because even as you've outlined it, the market rally has really flown in the face of a lot of the fear that we were hearing about, yeah, riots and a contested election. The fact of the matter is the market went up, what, about 12% in 2 weeks. That is a very fast move. But now that leaves the question of, what do you do now? You said, fine, yeah, you might be a little bit late to the party, but your data's still looking fairly positive currently, isn't it?
It is. The breath measures have not relaxed at all. It's still very firm. And the other, that plays into another consideration that gives people opportunity right now still. And that's the expansion in the number of groups that have participated. So you have some of the older relative strength areas that have been moving well since the March low. Even before that, you know, stuff like healthcare and technology, some of those leaders that really peaked out in maybe the early September. And basically have gone sideways. They've consolidated over the last several months, which is not unhealthy after you have a huge run. So those are primed, we think, for another upside resolution and another up leg, even as some of the newer relative strength areas, that have run so much over the last, couple of weeks, and since early October, they're playing catch up. Maybe they're getting a little bit extended. So our tact has been to take a little bit of profits off the table in those newer areas that got extended over the last few days, and rolling a little bit back into those older relative strength areas that, by just a glance at the headlines and some of the Twitter stream and stuff, it looks like a lot of people are trying to write off technology as kind of the dog has had its day and it's doomed from here. We don't see that. We think it's had a nice healthy consolidation and it's got it's put itself back into position for another run. Same thing with something like biotech as broke out to new highs a couple months ago and has consolidated for several months. I don't see anything unhealthy about that. The healthy thing is that money is rotated elsewhere, even as those sectors have held up well. So it's been a very good, it's probably the best trading environment we've seen in a long time. Whether you're talking about the array of areas that have been good performers, or the fact that they kind of ping pong back and forth. The newer stuff will be have a good day as the older relative strength stuff kind of stagnates. So you can trim some, add to the other, and it kind of goes back and forth. So nothing unhealthy about that. In fact, it creates a lot of opportunities, and I think there's still opportunity there.
Yeah, and you know what? That's actually the sign of a very healthy market, right? And even to your point about tech and people saying the tech day is over, we have to remember tech was doing well before the pandemic. Hey, Dana, it's great having you on the show, buddy. Thank you for more or less the recap of the last couple weeks and some of the positions that you have been in. Dana, great chatting with you, buddy. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Youngevity. Teamgaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
All right, welcome back. Here we are to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He is a managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog that I read over pretty much every day. And Mark joins me pretty much on a weekly basis to recap the news events and some of the key events to watch for in the following weeks. What I want to talk about here, Mark, is how the recent vaccine news has changed money flows within the markets and overall sentiment of investors. We're not going to get into the logistics around a vaccine or really anything about the vaccine, more so market moves. And let's start off with the rotation that we've seen. FANG broadly has underperformed for the last 2 weeks as we have seen that money rotate in some of these lagging sectors. Let's start there. First of all, how sustainable do you think this rotation is, and do you think it's warranted, the rotation out of FANG into these lagging sectors because of a hope of a vaccine?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, it's probably at this point, it's had more than just a hope of a vaccine. The results are promising, and at least two of the companies, right, Pfizer and Moderna, are applying for this emergency use. So things are looking positive. I just think the important thing I think to take away is the markets are anticipating. So they like price in the probability of a scenario. And the scenario is that the vaccine will be available. And that even though in the short run, Europe, the U.S., North America, many other countries are still having a surge of the virus. So they're trying to look past this near term and what would be the implications. And so besides like what you're identifying, the shift out of things, one way to think about it is for so long, how long have we been talking about it, that the value has underperformed growth. And so the idea would be that maybe there's a catch up, so broadening of the market. So you look at something like the Russell 2000, having done better than some of the major narrower indexes, especially those that capture the things. The other thing I think that people are doing is they're concluding that if growth is going to be better, that is, if we get the vaccine, we can be going back to normalizing things, then the chances of some countries like the UK or New Zealand, adopting negative interest rates has declined. And so we've seen both of those currencies, sterling and the New Zealand dollar, respond positively. We've seen the optimism of the vaccine and what that could mean going forward, reducing the need for safe havens. So we did see gold, for example, sell off. I think this is a first back-to-back week loss in gold in about 3 months. And we've seen the yen actually, the dollar jumped from about 103.30, the lows, like 8 month low against the yen, to 105.65 last week. Purely on the idea that we don't need the safe haven anymore. This week, in recent days, we've sort of retraced some of that, consolidated those dollar gains. But in general, the market's concluding with a vaccine, less need of a safe haven, less need for other countries to adopt negative interest rates, less need to at least be taking profits on some of those stocks that benefited from the stay-at-home work environment.
So, Mark, don't you think some of these conclusions that the market's coming to, like a lack of negative interest rates, are getting a bit ahead of themselves? Because if we go back to, let's say, the end of last year, we weren't hearing from central banks saying they want to be raising rates. We were still hearing that central banks were generally concerned about the underlying economy. And now that the economy has really just gotten crushed, and yeah, fine, if we do get a vaccine, why all of a sudden does the economy come screaming back and governments or central banks start to raise rates?
Yeah, it's not so much raising rates. It'd be more like countries like the Bank of, like the UK or New Zealand, that were near zero, and the market was pricing the likelihood of negative interest rates. But I hear what you're saying, too, that the market, sometimes we do this, I think, that we tend to truncate time. And that is to say that before we get to the vaccine, that is, as early as next month, we should expect further easing by the European Central Bank. And in recent days, the speculations increased the Federal Reserve will do something next month as well. And that something else is shifting the bond buying towards the longer end of the curve. And of course, we're going to get more fiscal stimulus too, though it's not clear exactly when, but it's going to be coming in the U.S. It looks now, I mean, the odds of a lame duck stimulus package were never very great, though above zero. It does look like we have to wait until a new government comes in to get that fiscal stimulus.
Exactly. So that'll be in about 2 months' time, just under 2 months' time. But then why are safe havens selling off if the outlook is still for more government spending, more fiscal stimulus, don't you think? Or doesn't it seem like some of that money should land in some of these safe havens when you consider just how much debt countries have and the fact of the matter is that they can't withstand a substantially higher rates?
Yeah, I think that, like I say, the market kind of like compresses time, and then later we'll make these like more nuanced adjustments. But I do think that you're right, that we've got still a long slog ahead of us to get there. And but what the markets, I think, are saying is that even though we get the vaccine, that we shouldn't expect that even, and countries have more debt, the debt servicing costs, the larger debt, more than offset by lower interest rates. And so the servicing the debt is not going to be a major problem. And that's one of the highlights of this past week, is China issued, they've issued a euro-denominated bonds last year. They came back to the market this week, offered a new euro bond, several different tranches. It's 5-year tranche. China was able to sell at below zero interest rates. And so and domestically, China's 10-year government bond is about 3.3%. So they were able to raise money at less than zero. And I think this is what people are saying. Like Italy is able to raise money at less than zero. That the debt servicing costs led us to continue this game for a little while longer.
Is there just that much money out in the world then that people are struggling to find anywhere to place it and they're still willing to put it in negative yielding bonds? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. I think you just have to think about the huge size, I mean, of the money. So imagine you've got an Italian bond and it's coming due. And so the tendency is just to roll it over in those Italian bonds. And so there's some of this captive money. But I think that, to your point, this is why some countries have, some currencies have done especially well recently, beyond what the economics would suggest, like Mexico. The Mexican peso is one of the strongest currencies in the last 6 months. But it's not because the domestic economy is so strong. It's because they have their three-month T-bill, the CETE yield, about 4.25%. So money gets is drawn to that, to Mexico, not because of progressive policies and a strong economy, but simply because of that circuit of capital and that chase of yields.
How does this all play into the yield picture here in the U.S.? Because we have seen, especially the long end, grind higher. I'm not saying that it's screaming higher, but it is generally grinding higher. You look at the last couple of months, and the trend is definitely up. So it does play into the whole shying away from safe havens. But how sustainable is that increase in the long end if even you are correct, where the Fed shifts some of its focus to buying longer-dated bonds?
Yeah, no, I think you're right that it is true that U.S. yields have crept up. You know, initially, after the election, and then again, when the, Pfizer's announcement, people put on this like, it looked like a reflation trade. That is, they sold the long end of the U.S. curve. And yet what's happened in, I'd say, the last few days, and yields this week in the U.S., those 10-year yields, benchmark is down about 7 basis points, which is among the biggest declines in the world after, you know, of course, being, you know, leading the way up. But that the new sort of scenario that has replaced the reflation story is the idea that the Federal Reserve will buy more long end. So you don't want to be caught short when the Federal Reserve announces, if they announce, that the Fed's going to concentrate its gunpowder on the long end of the curve. So rather than reflation, people are looking at more central bank bond buying. And this is what Australia announced earlier this month. This is what the UK has announced this month. And we'll expect the ECB to do the same thing, step up their bond buying next month.
All right, Mark, we're wrapping it up there. Again, you can check out Mark's daily notes at mark2market.com. I will post a link in that weekend show posting on our website. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed this first hour. I'm coming back on the second hour with a bit more of a focus on the metal sector, diving into some of the companies, some of the analysts that I have on, and some just broad updates. That whole hour can be found on our website, kereport.com. Mark, great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for your time again this week.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine?
It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.